We've studied through these earlier chapters in Genesis at one time or another, and most recently have picked up again on the flood. Tonight, again, thinking of the resurrection and Easter, looking at this pivotal point in the account of the flood. Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9 are the story of Noah, and particularly the flood. Chapter 8, verse 1 is the turning point of the action of the story. And simply the words at the beginning of chapter 8, "But God remembered Noah." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this evening to be able to gather again in your house and to remember that this is the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We thank you for the celebration that we had together this morning in your house, to be able to join our voices together, to bring our meager gifts together for the benefit of one another, and to celebrate the wonderful truth that we serve a risen Savior. And as I was reminded by one person this morning, that no other religion in the world makes this claim or can make this claim that their leader, their Savior, their great teacher is one who died and came back from death. Everyone else follows a dead philosopher, a dead wise teacher. No matter how wise their sayings are or useful that their perspective and philosophy may be, they're dead. And we thank you that we have a risen Savior. And we thank you that not only do we serve a risen Savior, but you in your grace, you have joined us to him. So that there is this mystical and very real bond between us. The Holy Spirit being baptized by one Spirit into one body. Jesus Christ is the living head, and is we are those living stones built together with him. And in that assurance, knowing that because he lives, we will live. And when we come to the end of our earthly days, we know that that will not be the end. It will really be the beginning, where we experience that new creation in a way that we can only glimpse at now through your word and by faith. We pray as we think again this evening about your great work of redemption, that you would impress upon us your love for us, your grace, that you care for us as you have always cared for your covenant people. Bless us with your Spirit this evening, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. Amen. John Dewey, the American philosopher and educator, was every bit the absent-minded professor. And one day he was walking across a college campus with a friend when a little boy came running up to them and asked Dewey for a nickel. And he fumbled in his pocket until he found one and gave it to the boy, who then ran off. As they walked along together, Dewey turned to his friend and complained, "The trouble with boys in this city is that they're always asking you for money." And his friend asked, "Wasn't that your son?" And Dewey looked around and said, "Why, yes, I guess it is." Sadly, we can get so distracted that we forget what is really important. Have you ever been at a point in your life when you thought that God had forgotten you? That God was distracted, doing things that gods do, taking care of international situations or tragedies or the weather or trying to keep the universe going? Have you ever thought that God is so busy, so distant, so distracted that he has forgotten you? You prayed, but there was no answer. You got nothing out of your Bible. You couldn't feel his presence. He seemed very far away. Noah certainly must have felt that way. He lived in a difficult time. Chapter 6, verse 5, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But then God came to one man, Noah, and warned him about what was going to happen. Noah was a man who found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 9, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And then with verse 9, we have the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. He was a righteous man. By faith, he was righteous. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Noah was a man who believed God, and believing, he was declared righteous. And among the people in which he lived, he was blameless. They looked at him and said, he's a blameless person. His relationship with God is described in that he walked faithfully with God, as Enoch walked with God. Noah walked faithfully with God. And so God told Noah to build an ark, and Noah did everything that God told him. And when he and his family had gone inside the ark, God shut the door behind them. The fountains of the deep burst, the springs of water exploded. The floodgates of the sky flew open. The rain began to fall. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Inside, it was then, after the 40 days and 40 nights, that you could feel that the ark was beginning to move and beginning to be lifted up from the earth. You knew that the ground was gone from beneath your feet and you were adrift. And the water kept rising for 150 days until it covered the top of the highest mountain on earth by 22.5 feet. 150 days, 5 months inside the ark, nothing but dark clouds and rain and water everywhere. No television, no radio, no iPod, no cell phones. And it doesn't even appear that there was a word from God. It's interesting to think how Noah got this information. Did God just speak out of the sky or out of a burning bush or something like that? Martin Luther thinks that it was Methuselah that came and gave God's word to Noah about instructing the ark. And now inside the ark, there is no prophet, there is no man of God to come and speak on behalf of God. And God could have spoken directly to Noah. There's nothing to prohibit that. But there's no indication that God is now speaking to Noah while he's in the ark. He simply has that word that was proclaimed to him before he got into the ark. So here he is, surrounded with water, going through something no one has ever gone through before. Rain. I mean, it's going to rain. And the rain is going to continue until the waters cover the face of the earth. Nothing could be seen around you. No land, every mountain peak is gone. No harbor to hope for. There's no other ship going to pass you in the night. There's no hope of it running into somebody. It's just you and your wife, your three sons, their wives, eight people in all, and you're very much alone. Can you imagine how Noah must have felt? Martin Luther asks the question, in what frame of mind do you suppose we would have been if we had been brought into the ark and had seen the waters rushing in from all sides with such force, and the wretched mortals swimming in the water and wretchedly perishing without any help? Furthermore, the ark floats on the water for 150 days, buffeted by waves and gusts on all sides. No harbor could be hoped for, nor any association with other human beings. They are driven hither and thither by the waves and the winds. Is it not a miracle that these eight human beings did not die of grief and fear? 150 days, 5 months, as one day slowly fades into the next, Noah must have asked the question, is this ever going to stop? Will the rain ever stop? Will this come to an end? Are we going to get out of this alive? Will we ever get to put our feet on dry land again? Where is God? I mean, he told us to build this ark, and now we're inside, and he shut us inside this ark. Will he remember us that we're here, or has he forgotten us? Genesis 7, verse 17. For 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on land perished, birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out, people and animals and the creatures that move along the ground, and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down, and on the 17th day of the 7th month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. God remembered Noah. Just as it happened in creation, the Spirit of God, the wind of God, blows upon the waters. Dry land begins to appear. God stopped the fountains. He shut up the floodgates. He made the rain to stop. Land appears. God remembered Noah. I think this means two things, at least. First of all, it means that he who promised is faithful. As Noah was building the ark, God said to him, I will establish my covenant with you. God is saying, I promise to be your friend and I am going to take care of you. And now when we're told that God remembered Noah, it means that God turns toward Noah and begins to fulfill that promise. God is a God who makes promises, and God is a God who keeps his promises. He who promised is faithful. God does not forget. The book of Hebrews, he who promised is faithful. And then the book ends with that great promise, he will never leave you nor forsake you. God remembered Noah. It means he who promised is faithful, but it also means, secondly, he who promised will act. Remembering Noah is not just a mental thing, if that, we can even talk of a mental thing with God. It's not something that's just going on in the mind of God. God is not just thinking about Noah. God is now doing something for Noah. God is fulfilling that covenant promise to be Noah's friend and to take care of him. When God remembers, God acts. I mean, do you ever pray, God, would you remember me? And you're asking God to act, to look toward you with his favor, but then to act on your behalf and to deliver you. Genesis 17, for instance, you don't need to look at all of these passages, but this concept of God remembering his people is an important one. We see it in God's dealing with Abraham and with Lot and the city of Sodom. Genesis 17, verse 7, here's the covenant promise. God speaking to Abraham, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. I will be your friend and I will take care of you. The three visitors come and talk to Abraham. They get up to leave. The men, chapter 18, verse 22, the men turned away and went toward Sodom. Abraham remained standing before the Lord. And then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing. Abraham is praying for a city, for God to be compassionate. Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? God answers Abraham's prayer. He sends his angel in to the city, not a ninja warrior, if you watch that episode about the Bible on the History Channel. Ninja warriors going into Sodom to see if anybody would practice hospitality, and then on the basis of their good works, they would spare Sodom. A real distortion of what the biblical message is. But the angel goes, delivers Lot, brings him out of the city. Genesis 19, verse 29. Here's the conclusion to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the deliverance of Lot. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham. And he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. He who promised is faithful. When God remembers, God acts and he does something and he delivers this relative of Abraham. Just one other example, and one that would be very important and forceful for those who are hearing for the first time the story of Noah. And who were those people? Who's the original audience for the book of Genesis? Israelites, they're coming out of Egypt, they're going through the wilderness, they're getting ready to go into the promised land, and that's the original audience, those that would first hear these stories as Moses has put them together and he's writing them in order to tell the Israelites who God is and what he can do. But Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. This is the beginning of the account of the deliverance of God's people from Egypt, the birth of Moses. Moses flees to Midian. And then we have this summary statement. During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. Verse 24, God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. He who promised is faithful. He remembers his promise to Abraham, and then he's going to act on that promise. His acting on that promise is raising up Moses to be that leader. Very next chapter is the burning bush where he sends Moses back to Egypt to bring the people out. When God remembers, it means that he who promised is faithful, and it means he who promised will act. The floodwaters of the deep are closed up. The floodgates of the sky are shut. The rain stops. The water recedes. The ark comes to rest upon a mountain. It's as though God now invites Noah, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What was Noah's father thinking when he named him Noah? I will name him Noah because he will bring rest, comfort to God's people. Genesis 5. This one will give us rest from our work and the toil of our hands. So can you imagine Noah's joy at this point? God hasn't forgotten us. He's remembered. The waters are now beginning to recede. The ark is coming to a rest on land. The water is beginning to just drain off. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God remembered Noah. The whole world was lying in sin. The wages of sin is death. Death must come upon all men. Yet one man found favor in the eyes of the Lord, a man who walked with God. Noah entered the ark. It was a fearful experience. It was a trial to his faith. Now, what has all of that got to do with Easter? Well, God remembered somebody else. The whole world was lying in sin. The wages of sin is death. Death must come upon all men. Yet one man found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He was righteous, blameless, a man who walked with God. And God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Noah was told to build an ark, and this man too is given a task. The Son of Man comes to seek and to save those who are lost. This man was promised success. Tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. This man experienced a trial of his faith. My God, why have you forsaken me? You know, God, have you forgotten that we're in the ark? And here is another man crying out, have you forgotten me? Nailed to the cross. Am I going to make it out of this alive? He dies, he's buried, he's cut off from the land of the living, and it seems as though death has won. But God remembered Jesus. He who promised is faithful, and he who promised acts. In the book of Acts, Peter says, "This man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power." Psalm 16, I think that we can hear the voice of Jesus, the Messiah, praying to God as he looks at the tomb that is waiting for him. You will not abandon my soul to the grave. You will not allow your Holy One to see decay. You will make known to me the path of life. God remembered Jesus. The stone is rolled away from the tomb. The angels stop the women when they come. Why are you seeking the living one among the dead? He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. He who promised is faithful. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad in it. God didn't forget Noah. God didn't forget his son, Jesus Christ, and God's not going to forget you. The same promise that God gave to Noah, God gives to you. I will establish my covenant with you. The promise is for you and for your children after you. I will be your friend and I will take care of you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Walk before me and be blameless. So respond to God's promise as Noah did. Walk with God. Just as Noah did everything that God commanded. Do all that God commands. Trust his covenant promise of grace to save you. And what we see God doing for Jesus, God promises to do for you. And the promise of Easter is that there's no trouble so deep that God can't get you out of it. I mean, that's what you begin to learn when you compare Noah with Jesus. Noah was in big trouble. Noah wasn't dead. Jesus died. There's a greater sense of God's power in the life of his own son. Noah was saved from death. Jesus was saved out of death. Noah walked out of the ark to a new beginning of life, and you see a completely new beginning of creation, as it were, as he comes out of the ark and he makes an offering. And God repeats the covenant promises and gives him new responsibilities. Jesus walks out of a tomb to new life. And that new life, that resurrection life, is what we celebrate today. He who promised is faithful. God will remember you. He's not going to forget you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's your friend and he promises to take care of you. Some days you're going to feel like Noah. In the dark, surrounded by a flood. Is this ever going to come to an end? Is there any hope that this is going to stop and I'll be able to get free? And sometimes that you will feel like Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why aren't you answering my prayers? Why aren't you speaking to me in your word? Why does it look like everything is coming to an end? But remember what happened to Noah. Remember what happened to Jesus. That first Easter morning, he who promised is faithful. Let's pray.